hit record, so stop all your nonsense, Phil.
It's always been nonsense.
Philly. Fred?
Yes.
Oh, you know, we started showing now.
Okay.
All right. Phil, why don't you tell us a story while I get this thing up and running on the Facebooks?
Well, Pearlie had her first burger with bacon in it yesterday.
What?
Yeah, so I've been introducing her to all these different businesses here in Woodbridge just to show her what her neighborhood's all about, and she's never had a hamburger with bacon.
Can I ask you a question? And this is a serious question.
Mm-hmm.
Has her digestive system? How long has she lived here?
It's her third month now.
Okay, and I'm being sincere. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Has she found the? I don't know, her gut flora, changed because of the kind of food here in North America?
Well, when she moved here at first, obviously her body wasn't used to, you know, the organisms in our water and our food. And so she had a few tummy aches for the first couple of weeks.
Well, I would imagine. I mean, if we moved to Cambodia, which we're seriously considering... I was thinking of going to live with Pearl's family.
Sure, they have a third floor now.
And I would imagine our stomachs would take a while. Our systems would take a while to adapt.
You don't need to wait for your stomachs. Your intestines react. You're going to have diarrhea if you don't take medicine first. Like, if you don't take the traveler's diarrhea vaccine, the first meal you eat in Cambodia, the minute you get step off the ground, you're off to the washroom within 15 seconds.
Really?
Yeah, because they just have a very different, as you mentioned, gut flora.
Yeah.
They have different ways to fight whatever's there.
And the way that, you know, I don't know, I guess people all over the world have different tolerances for different food.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that you have to take some kind of medication so you avoid traveler's diarrhea.
Yeah. There's a bunch of viruses that are a thing over there because people either don't wash after themselves often enough or because... you drank water that wasn't boiled, for example.
Yeah,
like their tap water, you got to boil it.
No,
quite a long time.
I spent a lot of time in Mexico in the middle '80s, and very often, you know, you never build up a tolerance to that. I never did. I mean, not that I had diarrhea all the time, but you know, sometimes I would be there for a few weeks and. Have no problems, and sometimes, as you say, on day one, you know, things were moving. Freddie, you okay?
Yeah, like Pearlie tells me now, like, I'm trying to avoid salad and lettuce.
Oh.
Why? And she goes, I don't want to shit to death. And
hey, like, what? Come on with the swearing.
I'm like, oh, Pearlie, what are you talking about? You're going to crap to death.
Well, here's the question. What did Freddie just get up and do? Where'd you go, bud?
My phone was at 1%, and I like to have my phone at the ready during the show for whatever reason. So I went and got my charge cord and plugged it in. That is all.
Your reason.
That is all.
Isn't it funny how you, a professional broadcaster like yourself could, and I do it all the time, where you mispronounce the most ridiculous word, reason. Reasoning? Yeah.
Oh, yes. And happening more and more.
Oh, yeah.
Something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had a stress test yesterday, and I hit it out of the park.
Did you ace it?
He said, "You have the heart of a young man." I said, "Thank you very much."
Did he say you have the heart?
He said, it's cold. It's very cold, but it's strong.
It's black. He said, "You have the heart of a young man and the heart on of an old man." Canadians.
Yeah, that's what I said. If it's so strong, why ain't it pumping to all parts?
Yeah. Why can't you get more blood? Can we get a bypass and get some more blood to the wiener? Canadians have now vaccinated themselves. 80.09% of this country is vaccinated. How about that? It's pretty good.
In the country or Toronto? The country?
I just said country.
No, I know, but I'm surprised because I heard the report yesterday that Toronto had hit 80. I didn't think the country had hit that, and I just wanted to make sure that you had your and I'm not questioning your your information. I just wanted to make sure you didn't mean Toronto when you said Canada, because I'm thrilled to hear that Canada's there now too, because it was quite the event yesterday when Toronto hit 80.
Right here in CTVnews.ca. Five things you need to know.
Five things you need to know. Phil Hong is good boy.
CTV BuzzFeed.
CTV, five things you need to know.
80.09% of the country's eligible population eligible for vaccination. Yeah, that's those. What's going on with the minors? Because I can't get the CTV thing to update.
No, they're all fine.
Are they good?
Oh yeah, they're all out. No, but that's so great to hear that the country's at 80 now, and it's going to be a grind to get to 85 and 90. But you know, they said 80 was a significant goal, and we're there, so let's see what happens.
Okay. So that was from yesterday, because I couldn't get the
five things you need to know to refresh.
So I've gone back to the CTV homepage, and I'm refreshed now for Wednesday. Canada has now vaccinated 80.26%. All right.
Wow.
Have you, by the way, before we start the show, have you heard the latest Smart Lift with John Stewart?
Did I? Yes, I have. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, I went back and listened to the rest of it. You know, I thought it was interesting. The first part, I found him a bit, because I like John Stewart, but I felt he wasn't playing along with my fellas. You know what I mean? Like he was a little bit at arm's length. Like he wasn't. A couple times Arnett said something I thought was funny, and John Stewart sort of didn't respond. Did you find that?
Not really.
Okay.
I didn't. And, you know, and I really concentrated. I was in the car for an extended period yesterday, and I listened to it intently. I didn't get that impression. You know, he was John Stewart, of course. But I didn't get that from it.
The second half, he seemed to lighten up a little bit. I mean, it could have just been me. I was laying in bed listening to it. You know, I'm not listening super intently. But I found it fascinating. He's a very smart guy, Johnny Stewart.
It's really interesting how they steer clear of politics.
Yeah.
Like, even a guy like John Stewart, I mean, there was some yesterday, but it seems if it starts to go there, they sort of pull it away.
Yeah, it was sort of touching on the edges of politics, just in his manner. All right, Phil, you ready to start a show?
Absolutely. I've been listening to the podcast Smart Ass, but there's no guests.
Hey now, Phil, why do you be so dirty?
I just have to say.
Hey, Phil, were you wearing the same shirt yesterday? I'm not judging. I'm just asking.
I actually bought two of these.
All right.
When I got it. Yeah, so there was a 2-for-$10 deal at Old Navy.
Old Navy. Well, you look great, man. Hey, let's do it. Here comes Phil Hong from a basement.
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, and our newest sponsor, Duer, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Twitter account is Humble Fred Radio. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Do you think that you're going to get emotional when you see us in person in like 3 weeks? Actually, 2 weeks from tomorrow.
It'll be tears from fear.
Tears from fear. That's funny.
People? I forgot.
No, I don't know. I might get emotional. Haven't seen Phil in person in a long time.
Oh, something else, eh? Hard to believe.
That is weird.
Hard to believe.
That Trump guy, Noel Castler, joining us today. Noel, a guy worked on The Apprentice for 6 years, a stand-up comedian. He's become a regular part of our show. I reached out to him early in the pandemic. I'd been following him on Twitter. I found him fascinating and very funny. He's got a new podcast he's been doing for a couple months. He's going back on tour. We're going to check in with Noel Castler And we've been pretty good in terms of our Trump, you know, chat. And I sort of caught up on some Trump stuff on a Washington Post article that I sent you. But some interesting things about the cult of Trumpism and how it defies all traditional, political, social, all that stuff. Very interesting. And I know I sent it to you just before the show. So if you have some time at the trailer today, you should sit with it.
Well, yeah, I read the first few paragraphs, but it sort of gets back to what we said yesterday. That's according to the Washington Post, those things. You know, the great divide, the great polarization. Anyone's a Trumper just looks at that and says, you know, it's more propaganda. It gets the great orange one.
No, I know that.
And so much is happening before their eyes, and it's being ignored by half the population. It's scary stuff.
No, that article is not for anyone to sway anyone's opinion. It's just for the rest of us. You know what it is? It's for people like yourself and myself and other sort of, you know, semi-normal thinking people to just have a look at the, you know, more of why it's happening. Not that there's anything anyone can do about it.
Well, that, you know, that Stephanie Grisham, who was Melania's chief of staff and former press secretary for Trump. I don't remember when that was, but, you know, her book was released yesterday and it, you know, smears the Trumps pretty good. But, you know, immediately everybody, all the Trumpers lined up behind him saying she's just a nasty, bitter young woman who wasn't up to the job. And this is how she's reacting.
It's funny how no matter what happens, no matter what he does, no matter what anything gets unearthed about him, it's always there's always an explanation. His entire life, you know, I've read a couple books about Trump, so not sure if I've told you about it. His entire life, it's always been somebody else's fault. Mm-hmm. It's never he's never done anything wrong, not the university, not the steaks, not the hotels, not the casinos. It's always somebody else.
And, you know, on both sides, the beast is being fed daily through all the usual channels. The misinformation just piles up and piles up and piles up. And as you just said, it doesn't sway anybody's opinion. It just makes each side dig in harder.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's the sad thing.
The article it's not about so much about, you know, our side versus their side. It's really kind of it's really long too. It's so many words. Really more of a just here's where we are. Here's how we got here. Anyway, we're going to talk about that with Noel in about a half an hour's time. I did want to mention, I did something yesterday that I have not had the opportunity to do or anyone has since before the pandemic. You know, occasionally over the course of 9 years of working for ClubLink, which I do, I host three or four charity tournaments or corporate tournaments. And then, of course, that was all shut down because of COVID. You know, a lot of people have heard, you have, you know, golf's had a very robust couple of years in terms of the people playing, new players, and the rounds of golf are up 35 or 40% at most courses. Well, certainly in North America. What is down, though, for a lot of these courses, ClubLink especially, are corporate tournaments and weddings and corporate functions. So yesterday, the Boys and Girls Club of Canada put on a charity tournament. They asked me to host it at my own golf course, which was really cool because I got to host a banquet, Fred. There was 100.
What?
Yeah, man. So imagine this, around 100-ish people. Maybe a little bit more or less, all double vaxxed, fully vaccinated with the papers, everything. And, you know, just one of those days you have the little fun golf and then you go in for dinner and then you have the auctions and the live auctions and such. And, you know, a little presentation about they call themselves BGC Canada now. You know that the Boys and Girls Club of Canada has been around over 125 years.
It's 100 locations
or more across the country of helping young people, not always in the best neighborhoods, you know, have a place to go and have a community. But it was fascinating.
No, that's fantastic. You know, I'm familiar with the term Boys and Girls Clubs, but honestly, I, you know, what the actual function is, I'm ignorant.
Me too.
Today.
Well, I'll tell you, I had no idea they were as big, if not bigger, than the YW or whatever that YMCA used to be called. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to tell you, being in a room full of people, standing on stage, that was also my first time. I realized it when I went up to the microphone that I was about to talk to a group of people. You know, I'm not doing my act, but I was.
You didn't do a quick 10 20? About boys and girls and stuff, like your boys and girl material.
Yeah,
how about them boys?
Hey, you can't even call
who
them.
Are these boys.
Who are these boys and
what
girls?
About the girls?
You can't even call them boys and girls anymore. They're they and them.
No, but it was kind of interesting. I was standing there looking at a group of people. I hadn't done that since February of 2020. And at the end of the night, these people raised $185,000, which I thought was
coin.
Cool. Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, there were some Bitcoin people in that room.
Maybe they could become a sponsor. Did you pitch them?
Of course I did. Come on. Oh, okay. Yeah. Come on. What am I, new?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, no, but not to belabor, just as it was kind of an interesting experience, I did reference the fact that everyone in the room obviously had a brain. Because you were in the room, you know, I made a few anti-vax remarks, you know, like I do. And but it was great. It was listen, there was a time when I was sick to death of hosting these things. There was. But I got to tell you, having not done one in a while and also just seeing people, you know, there were still some restrictions in place. While you were sitting, you could be maskless, obviously, but, you know, moving around and going to get drinks and such, you had to put your mask back on. But other than that, it was just like a normal evening affair. And it was really, I don't know, I just felt good about doing it because I was doing it for the first time in a while.
No, that's fantastic. Because I know a lot of those places have decided just to keep dining rooms closed for those functions because there's not enough of them to really make it worthwhile. So again, like the 80% vaccination rate, you know, another indication that maybe we're just, you know, a little bit getting on the other side of this thing. You know, 30,000 at the Jays game last night. That the game sucked, but, you know, 30,000, encouraging. Didn't see many wearing masks when I watched the game, but
I think you've told
me
this.
Getting there.
Just remind me, I apologize, because I know you told me maybe even yesterday or the day before. What are the restrictions at the Jays? And the second part of the question is, what's going to be the restrictions at Leaf games?
Well, the Leafs is half capacity.
Okay,
which is about 10,000 now. But I have a feeling before the regular season starts, they'll go higher. The Jays are 30,000.
Any mask restrictions at the Dome, you said, I think?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
You can't move around without a mask on?
That's right. But in your seat, if you're eating or drinking, you can take your mask off. So, I mean, I know what I would do. I would get a beer and I would nurse it for nine innings or a couple of beers, right? Because wearing a mask for nine innings would be aggravating.
Well, it's the same at a movie theater. You're allowed to have your mask off whilst consuming the popcorns and the Diet Cokes. Speaking of the Leafs, did they trade Freddie Jakobsen?
Who's Freddie Jakobsen?
I'm sorry. Who?
Freddie Anderson?
Freddie Anderson? Freddie. Who is Freddie Jakobsen? Is he a golfer? Player. Oh, he's a golfer.
A golfer in a baseball team?
No, I'm talking hockey now. So
Freddie Jakobsen.
I got to mess up. Freddie.
No, I could see if his name was Jakobsen and you called him Anderson, but the guy, his name is Anderson and you called him where did that come from?
Because I couldn't remember. Is it so? What's his last name? Freddie who?
Anderson.
And he got traded to Carolina?
No, he didn't get free agent.
Oh, okay.
He walked.
Because I just saw a dart guy, the hockey dude, posted a picture of, I guess, Freddie Anderson.
Of course, he'll win the Vezina this year.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Mm-hmm. And the caption was 38 shots, 37 saves. I guess he's just another ex-Leaf that's going to blossom somewhere else.
The problem with Freddie, you can't go by an exhibition game, obviously, if that's what he was referring to. Freddie's problems happened in big games.
Mm.
He always let in one or maybe two softies.
Okay.
So it's like anything else with the Leafs. I don't even want to hear about them. I don't want to talk about them. I don't want to hear what they have to say until April.
Hey, Fred Jakobsen, by the way, is a Swedish professional golfer. That's where I had it in my head. Freddie Jakobsen plays on the occasionally on the PGA Tour as well. You know, he's one of those guys. He's been around for a long time. He actually won on the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, there you go. So another ex-Leaf and professional golfer. Very interesting career.
But hey, don't kid yourself. It'll be very interesting. Zach Hyman in Edmonton, who walked because he wanted too much money. That one you could understand. Leafs couldn't afford him based on their structure, unfortunately. And Freddie Anderson, just to see how they do this season. You know, it's funny. This town is a sports town. Like last night, everybody was just so excited for that game. Just so excited. And I, you know, you're sitting there in the chair and it's like you just have this pit in your stomach, this empty feeling because they can't hit the ball. Only three hits all night.
Yeah.
And then the Yankees get a couple of bizarre home runs. The one that Giancarlo Stanton, he literally, Howard, hit it at his shoe tops and just sort of golfed it out of the park to put the game in reach.
Oh, you mean it was like, way it was that low and he still got it out? Interesting.
And you're sitting there as a Toronto fan, and they had that stat. Well, that is the lowest ball that...
as ever.
Giancarlo Stanton has ever hit. That's the lowest ball for a home run. Oh, of course. And it happens against the Jays during a... not a pennant race, but a playoff
race. No, but a game of significance.
Yes.
Listen, my golf app group... just our bananas about the Jays. Everyone was talking about it last night. Even I came home wanting to turn the game on, discovered I don't have Sportsnet because I don't watch Sportsnet. I only watch either. If I ever have a occasion to watch TSN, it's because they have early round coverage of some golf. But anyway, I wanted to watch it. And then, of course, this morning, I'm like, how did they do? I think it was 7-2, right?
Yeah.
7-2 Yankees. And
was not pretty.
So they have two more games in this series, but now they're two games back?
They're three back in the Yankees. Boston lost, so they were still one back of Boston, but Seattle won and jumped over the Jays. So the Jays are a half game back of Seattle, one game back of Boston, three back of New York. Forget the Yankees now. I think they're uncatchable. So it's all about what Boston and Seattle does down the stretch and the Jays, obviously.
Say that again, because I'm just trying to find some music for your Bodog spot here. But what? So they're just a game. Are they still in the running? Because I want to try and...
Yes. Oh, yeah. They're in mathematically, yes. Okay. Very much so. No, I'm just saying the Yankees are three games up and the Jays only have like five games to play. So forget that. But Boston's only one up and Seattle's a half game up on the Jays. So,
well, I heard a couple guys say the same
thing.
It
can happen.
A few guys said the same thing, echoing your comments about, well, yeah, you'd love them to win, but they've made baseball exciting in September in Toronto. And no one saw that coming.
And that's why I don't want to sound like Dougie Downer here, because you know, if they lose tonight, it's like, okay, they're out. They, you know, a young, dynamic team that made September fantastic. You have to look at the upside. This isn't the Leafs.
No,
you know, four years into a young team and then blowing a 3-1 lead against a much inferior team.
Yeah,
this is still a team on the rise.
Not only that, but this team has actually won the World Series in this century.
Yes, Howard. Good point.
So I don't want to muddy the waters here with the Bodog odds, but since we're talking sports, I did look on Bodog to see what the over under on your excitement dump number was, and I had it. I bet at two. Did you get at least two, or was just one?
I'm sorry. What's that reference you're making?
Your excitement. Okay, first of all, now
that's
you're
not the over under.
No, I'm talking about your excitement dumps.
Oh, okay.
I think there's a delay now because what happened was just a second ago the Zoom thing froze and you missed what I said. I think.
Okay.
So I said, I looked on Bodog for the over-under odds on your excitement dumps. I had it at 2. I was wondering
what... The number 2, right?
What's the number 2? Yeah.
Multiple occasions, yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the greatest sports betting opportunity that sports bettors can have.
Tonight, the Yanks favorite, of course, Gerrit Cole, their ace is on the mound against Jose Barrios of the Toronto Blue Jays. So, yeah, the Yanks favorite, as you can understand. If the Jays win, it's, they pay 165. The Red Sox and the Orioles, boy, the Orioles pay $205 to win. But again, the Red Sox favored by 1.5 runs. All right. Bodog, whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or a casino player, Bodog, your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room, to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. I know everybody loves to bet on sports, you know, especially the big four, although, you know, European soccer as well. Go to bodog.eu/sports for all your single event betting.
Nice.
Wagering.
Yes.
It's a classier word.
I was wearing my health gauge watch yesterday during the golf tournament, and... it's always fun to keep track of how many steps you take. You got yours on now. You got your, and you have your new strap on. Strap on. Don't be nasty. Huh? Don't be nasty, Phil. Phil, why are you so nasty? You know? HealthGauge.com. The device, the software, and the cloud computing. We don't talk enough about this, where you can keep track of your information. You've got it on your phone. You can also share that, whether you've just had a stress test. I want to ask you about that, actually, because you had your stress test. Did you, or were you able to sync up any of the information with your Health Gauge watch?
Yes. Very close, yes. Mm-hmm.
It is. You know, like I said, that day I spent half an hour at the... the blood pressure station in Shoppers, and just going over and over. It is very accurate. That's blood pressure, heart rate, all kind of things. Calories burned. How many calories are you burning in a day? Find out if you have the Health Gauge Genesis or the Health Gauge Phoenix. That's what I got. So does Freddie. HealthGauge.com. Go to the website and then put in the promo code HumbleFred15 for 15% off at checkout. HumbleFred15. HealthGauge. Recently, we've been talking quite a bit, I guess, about our anniversary. 10th anniversary is coming up. Can't wait to hug Phil. Just so you know, I know this doesn't work in your world, but I'm going to hug you like a little baby.
Is that allowed?
Yes, you're double vaxxed. I'm double vaxxed. We're going to hug. I'm going to give you a big papa hug. Hi, papa.
Okay, I'm going to wear gloves.
Anyway, so that's been part of the conversation. And recently, Fred's daughter, Melanie, who I met when she was 7 years old. And one of the first times I came, I mentioned this yesterday, one of the first times I think I was invited, for my ex-wife and I were invited to the Patterson home. And not the one you're in now, the one that you used to be in, over on Drift Bank. Whatever it was called.
Driftwood.
Yeah, I knew that.
Drifterson.
Freddie Jacobson. Anyway, this, I only opened, I hadn't had Facebook open in a couple days, and I opened it up this morning just to make sure everything went on the our feed yesterday. I just wanted to see it. And then I got this Facebook memory. I'm going to share my screen with you. And this is a Facebook memory of you and I. You see that?
Oh, yes. Look at that. Smoking in my house.
That's the first thing I noticed. So this is, I think, this is from Melanie's birthday party.
Yeah, we're in my...
We're in the basement there, right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. We're in my my rec room on Driftwood. Yes. Isn't that something?
So there you are, young Freddie P with your little Freddie P mustache. Mm-hmm. And there I am. Smoking one of my players' lights in your home at a kid's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
I remember coming to your place a couple times after the show for lunch. You invited me over. We wanted to talk about the show. And I remember there was a sliding glass door sort of between your kitchen and living room, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And I remember you were making me lunch, and I was smoking, and as a, you know, trying to be courteous, I stood in the doorway and opened the screen door thinking, oh, I'm making a big mm-hmm. concession. Mm-hmm. Fuck. What about my, what hairband am I in, Phil?
I'm not even sure.
Jesus.
Where's your jean jackets?
It's just, that's 1989. Would that be the actual day of Mel's birthday, or, you know?
That's what, I don't have a date for it, but I know right. I had put this up as a, I put this up in 2016, and it just came up again.
Right.
But I'm pretty, I just have a feeling that was the day of Melanie's birthday party.
But look at that, 30 years ago, no thought about you sitting in my rec room and lighting up a dart with kids running around.
Yeah, at a kid's, a kid's birthday party.
Isn't that something, yeah?
Yeah. But there's a little young, humble, and Fred hanging out.
Looks like a Brampton, Brooks, and Dunn.
Yeah, I'm 33, and you're what,
29.
29?
Yeah. Haven't turned 30. Turning 30 shortly after that, I guess, because Melanie's birthday would have been in September.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a few months shy of my 30th birthday. There we are,
my friend. I'm surprised I don't have a beer in my hand.
Maybe you do. Just it's not seen in this
other
frame.
Hand, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Again, you know, nostalgia makes me... I saw that this morning and I smiled, but I was also like, well, there we are. In fact, what's weird about this picture is that you and I at this age together aren't the age that you are now.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
I'd say.
I still keep thinking about the cigarette because obviously you had more than one. And just imagine when you left how it would have smelled down there.
Yeah.
Like cigarette.
Yeah.
And very rarely do you walk into anyone's house, even smokers' houses now, and smell cigarette, because even smokers tend to smoke outside, obviously. I mean, you were one.
And, I was doing this live auction last night, and one of the guys had donated some pretty big prizes. I'm talking about a one-week stay at a luxury resort in the Turks and Caicos. The total value was $25,000. It's a $3,000 or $4,000 a night resort. Anyway, so he wanted to come up on stage and help, you know, get some action going. And what he did was incredible. But he's a smoker. And it's funny because I just walked by him. We were talking about what we were going to do. And then he came over and I'm like, oh, he must have just had a cigarette. And the reason I mention it is because it's not very often now that you smell that on somebody. Not that I was offended by it. I just was sort of like, oh, yeah, you don't get that very often.
No, and, you know, we used to take that for granted, that cars and houses and bars and restaurants yeah. smelled like cigarette smoke, and it was just part of life. Now, on that point, you know, on my dock here at the trailer, the wind blows from the west. There's a few people just a few sights up that smoke, and sometimes when they light a cigarette down on their dock, really? I can smell it. Because it's just so distinctive now. Because it's not something you smell all the
time. It's not commonplace anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, man, you light that up and it wafts down here and I can smell it. What the hell is it doing to your lungs?
By the way, at this auction thing last night, back to the Leafs and the hold they have over the city. You know, I've been doing these charity tournaments in Toronto a long time. You know, I've only been working for Club Link for 9 years, but I've been hosting a lot of these, you know, since I've lived in Toronto 31 years. And it never fails. Two things that never fail to surprise me and never fail to get a lot of money is Leaf stuff. And last night there was a couple of Leaf jerseys. I can't remember the second one, but the first one was Muzzin's. Is Muzzin still a Leaf?
Jake Muzzin, yes.
Jake Muzzin.
Number 8.
And as soon as a Leaf... and it's... I'm not surprised by it anymore, but it is interesting that, you know, here's a, and people were excited to bid on it. It got a lot of money. And then I noticed as I was leaving, one of the grown men in his 50s had put it on and was then wearing it proudly out of the golf tournament.
So it'll be this year, 22, it'll be 55 years this year without a cup because they won't win it this year. So 55. And in one of my more down leaf moments last week, I was thinking about that. And then I was Googling, you know, championship droughts. And I do this every so often. You know, the Chicago Cubs, they won in 2016. They were 107 years. So still a long way to go there. And then the Red Sox, you know, the curse of the Bambino went on for 84, 85 years before they won in 2004. But they've won four since then.
Yeah.
Four World Series. But it's, you know, I just look at this Leaf team now and I don't think they're positioned to win with the team the way it is. So if this window closes, what's it going to be? 60, 65, 70? Ooh, owie.
It's a lot.
Not good.
It's a lot is what it is.
Oh, it's a lot, especially for a proud franchise, a so-called proud franchise that has the following that you just described. Like, when do people say enough's enough? It's not going to happen.
I know. It's crazy. It's
just, you know, maybe that's part of the charm. That's the way it became with the Cubbies. You know, part of their charm was their inability to win.
Yeah, they just kept constantly losing.
And now they're back at it. I guess they thought maybe that was the best route. It's the easier route.
I'm just trying to find a message that was sent to me for us. Anyway, I can't. Of course, now I can't. I thought I'd screen capped it, but now I can't. God damn it. Anyway, I'll find this for tomorrow's show. But yeah, I, again, it's not like I'm surprised that there was a scramble to buy. There was one other Leaf jersey. I can't remember the kid. I think it was a rookie. Maybe you'll know who it was. I think the guy Angelo, who was doing the auction with me, he was referring to this guy as possibly the rookie of the year, or was the rookie of the year, or was in the running for the rookie of the year. Setzel, something like that. Setzel.
A Leaf?
Yeah.
You know, Austin Matthews won Rookie of the Year, but no. I'm just trying to think. I can't think of Cecil? No. Peter Zezel used to play for them, but, you know, that's decades ago, and he's dead.
Mm. Okay.
Not him.
Well, anyway, I'm not surprised that grown men and women are
still... I'd love to know
still...
what that reference is, though, what he was talking about. Because, again, you know, my memory isn't the best these days either. And I'm just, last year, I can't think that they had, isn't that awful? Now somebody will text and make it obvious, but I can't even think of the name or somebody that was rookie material last year.
Well, it's not going to be important in seconds from now. Here it is. Yeah, somebody is now. It's Rob Burns is saying it was a Stutzel. Maybe it was an Ottawa jersey.
That's Al Anderson?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's Ottawa. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what it was.
He played for Ottawa last year and had a good year. Yeah.
But that got not some... So he wasn't a Leaf. Okay, great. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. So there's no Leafs. But, yeah.
That's a German kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are they playing hockey now?
born in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are they still allowed to play hockey?
Howard.
I'll just read you part of this because we were talking about smoking. So this is somebody named Ken who I can't remember if it was an Instagram message but I screen capped it and I can't find the rest of it. He said, I wanted to express another thank you for the time I went to see you and Fred at Home Depot. I showed up in a cast. Specifically, I guess he'd had some injury to meet you two, and I was shaking nervously as I was such a huge fan. You both made me calm down and said hello, and then you and I went out for a smoke. I believe it was just before or after a knee surgery. I had my, so this would have been 2003 or 2004 after I smelled my foot and tore my meniscus. Anyway, he says, you both made my day. It was probably about 18 years ago. Thanks and hope all is well with you. And that's from Ken McDowell. Okay. So it's still going out for smokes.
Isn't that flattering? And in retrospect, or even now, if it would happen, to think that you make someone nervous because who we are, what we do, it's like, really? Wow. Well, I mean, that it's very nice, but it's hard to get your head around that you have that effect on somebody based on the fact that you just sit and make fart jokes all the time.
Well, I can see you're very intimidating. I find you very intimidating. I can see why people would be nervous around you. Me, I'm just... I'm an open book. I'm just a happy.
Our longtime listener, Eric Magdovich, who lives not far from me, he rode by my house yesterday on his bicycle.
Did you really?
He said, "Hey, Fred, how are you?" And I looked and I had to take a double take because I wasn't sure who it was on the bike in the bicycle helmet, and it was Eric. And I was on my way out and he was chasing his wife who was on a bike, and I said, "Eric, drop by again, you know, when I have more time to spend with you." That's the type of guy I am.
Really?
I'll make you a sausage.
And you didn't make him nervous?
I don't think so.
Okay, you make people nervous. You're very intimidating with your big star like you. Speaking of Fred's, Fred Ball. See, that's what we've lost, Phil. We used to be able to do that in sync. So I'm wrong about the origin of that first picture. Fred Ball has
look at that.
So that wasn't Melanie's birthday. What that was you can see the 24th of December, 1989. It must have been a little Christmas Eve thing, because there I am wearing that shirt. There's you wearing that shirt. There's Doodles. There's Melanie, who is now, at that point, over 7 years old, just. And Danny, little Danny right there, is four.
Did Ball just send you that picture?
Yeah, Freddie Ball. He said he took the other picture, too. He took the... that Facebook picture. Let me see if I can...
Oh, so Ball was there that day, too, then. Obviously.
Isn't that terrible? I don't remember any of that. How do you get to memories, Phil?
I thought it was under your profile first.
Well, no.
It
just popped up.
Yeah.
I don't know how to access this anymore. Doesn't matter. But anyway, there's the picture that... let me get that picture again. There you go. So, we're wearing the... You got the t-shirt and we're having a love... Look at Doll serving a lovely... I don't know what that is.
I know what that is.
What is that?
That's
looks good.
I think it's chicken and mandarin orange thing that she used to make over rice.
Look at that place, eh?
There's Darren waving.
Darren's waving. That's our buddy Darren Waslick.
Would you call that a mullet?
Oh, it's a super mullet. It's an 80s mullet because he's got the 80s little Duran Duran puffy thing here at the top. He of course got his stash going.
You'll have to send that to him.
I got a mullet. Look at the mullet I'm rocking here. Anyway, looks like we're having a nice time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what? Is that bread? What is that? Bread? I guess so.
Okay, and what else is on the table? There's some white wine, it appears. White wine as opposed to red. And I think that's because Delise was serving chicken and rice. So white wine would go with that. Mm-hmm.
And then what are you doing with your hand?
There seems to be some greens. I think I'm waving.
Are you? Mm-hmm. It almost looks like you're going, "No pictures, I'm Fred Patterson." God damn it.
Certainly you're putting this up on Facebook so that those listening...
Here, Phil, I'll send this to you.
If not, see it now, can reference it later.
Yeah, let's do that, Phil. I'll send you this one.
Okay.
And if I can find the other one, I'll just send you this one.
I didn't know the raccoons on head thing was as late as 1989.
Why is there no... How do I access memories? I don't know how to do that. Can you find that out, Phil? Because then what I'll do is I'll send you the other picture that now I can't... That I was... Because I think also for referencing...
Should be on the left corner on your... Your timeline.
It doesn't matter anymore. I've lost all interest in it, but I will try and find it.
You know, I often think, here's what I think. I think that it's too bad that we didn't have phone cameras back then, because picturers are few and far between. I mean, you literally had to go to a place with a camera in your hand. Just think about that. And I was never one for that. I don't even think I had bought Elise a Pentax back when she was in college. So we sort of had that in the house. But as far as like an instant camera or whatever you called them, you know, you take the picture, you take the pictures to be developed.
Yeah.
Just what a chore it was to take pictures. So I don't have a lot, really, like that. And just think now, on your phone, there's thousands before you clear them out.
I'm trying to think. I think it was Norm Macdonald in his last Netflix, I think it was his last Netflix stand-up, the Hitler's Dog special, which I've watched a few times. He talks about the magic phone, and he sort of goes through that bit where, you know, you used to have to take a picture and then go to a place and wait for it to be developed. And he said, now, basically, there's all these pictures. And he's like, hey, if you want to see a picture of what you looked like a second ago, you know, because it used to be, you know, people would pose for a picture and then, you know, days or months later, you might not go and get them developed right away.
And if you waited too long, they came back all yellow or something.
Yeah.
If you wait, because, and again, you know what? It's funny you say that, because I think over the years, you know, you come across, you know, you use up the roll of film and then you throw it in a drawer and forget about it. And then years later, it's like, you know, should I get this developed? Is it worth it?
Well, I know, man.
Yes, yes, yes.
Anyway, Phil, I sent you that thing. You can go check it out. Right now, of course, it's time to switch gears and visit with one of our favorite. Well, I would say he's official, our official American correspondent. I mean, they're really. Yeah, we've got a few other guys we check in with from time to time, but nobody provides this program with the kind of content that we need from an American with the brain. That's right. We should call this segment, And Now an American with a Brain. Say hey to the internet's most prolific Trump reporter and official friend of the show. Here's Noel Castler. Hey, Noel Castler. Yeah, Phil, you should applaud.
Hey, guys. Great to be back, man. Great to see my favorite Canadians in the house.
We appreciate
it. Great to see you.
I appreciate you, because Noel always is so generous with us. He's got so many followers on Twitter, and he never fails to promote the fact that he's going to be on the show, which we say thank you for.
Hey, man, I'm proud to be on this show, dude. I want people to know I'm on here.
Well, that's because you don't know us very well. You don't know it. Hey, how are things, by the way? You all right?
Hey, they're great, man. I can't complain. You were kind enough to mention my show last time I was on, and I had my first show on my tour about 2 weeks ago in Annapolis, Maryland. And Howard, it could not have gone better.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
It was amazing. I mean, it really was so much fun. A lot of people came out, and it was just one of those nights that it was like, you know, because we discussed all the anxiety leading up to it, because it'd been so long since I performed, and I did 70 minutes, and it was incredible and a really good time. So I couldn't be happier.
How much rehearsal did you do? I don't know about you when you do stand up, but with me, it's a long, there's a lot of days of just kind of saying it out loud, walking around my place, remembering it. Is it similar for you?
That's my process, especially with like not really going to clubs so much, you know, because of COVID and all that stuff, and sort of being in lockdown. So it was like me in my backyard for like 2.5 months running the lines on my back porch up until the night before the show. Yeah. I mean, I prepared more for this than I did for plays when I was an actor, when I was younger and stuff. And it paid off. The work paid off. And, you know, you just kind of forget it and go out there and have fun. And it actually went so well, Howard, that I'm like, oh, my God, because I got another show coming up in Norwalk next month, which is going to be great. But I was like, it's never going to go that well. Again. you know what I mean? Those kind of shows where you're like, oh, man, it's all going to be downhill from here.
That's right. I've peaked.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt.
I'm going to get you to describe the club and what, you know, maybe we can compare that to what would happen in Canada. But do you think the audience – Part of the reason it went well is their thirst for wanting to be there and be part of that and feel that again and, you know, enjoy a night out.
Absolutely. And the club was called the Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland, which is a legendary music club, you know, mid-sized club, about 300 seats, but national acts, you know, the kind of place you could go and see, you know, just a great singer songwriter or a great band. So, and it was my followers that came out. So it was people that wanted to connect. As a matter of fact, when I was coming off the stage, they were lining up to take selfies with me. Nice. And my family was there and they were laughing. They were like, I can't believe people are trying to get photographs with Noel. Like, what's going on here?
Well, we were just talking about that. Howard read a text or something from, or an email from a guy who said that. He met us once and was very nervous. And it's like, it's hard to get your head around that. It's like, what?
Yeah,
me, that it just doesn't make sense. So
no, exactly. Something
we know what you're saying. Yeah,
no, it was weird. A security guard came and stood behind me. He's like, "Are you okay with this stuff?"
Well, but to be fair, it is America, and you know, there's death and assassination around every corner.
Good point.
But how many people and spread out masks, any of that stuff, barrier in front of you?
Vaccination requirements.
Vaccination requirements.
Yeah, I put all that in. The club wasn't really doing that. Maryland has a high vaccination rate, but they were kind of leaving it up to the individuals. I had to say you have to wear a mask and you have to show proof of vaccine to get in. That's just a rule for any show now.
Well, yeah. I was telling Freddie, this wasn't the same. There's a couple things I wanted to mention. I am meeting with some people I'm doing a gig for on December 2nd, and today is the 29th of September, and we're having a discussion the next couple of days, and they want me to do like 40 minutes at their function. And I thought this morning, I'm like, okay, that's literally 2 months from now. When are you going to start to rehearse, to do something? Because it's a good gig for me in terms of the, you know, the profile and the money. But the second thing I wanted to mention is last night, as I said on the show earlier, I hosted a function. It was a golf tournament charity thing. You've done it. Maybe 125 people in the room. But it was, as I was going on the stage, I said to Freddie, I looked around and I thought, this is the first time I've been in front of people in about 19 months. I did a gig at a club the last week of February. I felt pretty good about it. It was neat. And I knew everyone in the room was vaccinated. And even though I wasn't doing stand-up, it was nice to be in front of folks. What did it feel like for you when you first walked on stage? It's like, oh, Jesus, this again.
Yeah, I had the same feeling, you know, Howard. It kind of kicks in. Like we're up there on stage because we want to be, you know, and almost in all the anticipation and anxiety and preparing, I forgot about just the payoff of how good it feels to be up there and connecting with an audience. And once that kicked in, which was basically the first joke landed and I got a big laugh, it's kind of like, oh, I'm back, baby. This is, you know, and then it was just, you know, pure, you know, it was just wonderful.
So, is there capacity limits in those clubs or
yeah, and you know, I sold maybe, you know, I'd say like 130 tickets like within the first 2 days of announcing the show, then Delta hit and I was selling, you know, piecemeal after that.
Right.
So I didn't sell it out by any means. I was about maybe half capacity and it just shut off. Once Delta hit, people stopped buying cuz I booked or before all these idiots decided to not wear their masks and get vaccinated, you know, all this stuff. So
no, what I'm asking is if it did, are they allowing those places to be full capacity?
I see. Yeah, it was a full capacity show. It was the first full capacity show of this, you know, in a long time.
I wanted to get back to you saying when you had your first joke landed. So this thing I was doing last night, I was basically just there as an MC and I'm introducing the person from the charity and then this guy gets up. But there was a moment, you know, of course I'm bantering with the audience a little bit, a lot of people there that knew me, but there was one moment where I did a joke I said landed and everyone heard it and everyone laughed and I was like, oh yeah, that feeling. Because you forget, I mean, we joke with each other, we have laughs on the show every day, but there's something about an audience of people all kind of coming together in one little moment. I was like, oh yeah, but it is, I was a little rusty in terms of like just knowing where to kind of look and just how to, you know, where to pace. And that's why I say I've got 2 months now before this December 2nd gig. So I've got to start getting my head around it. Noel Castler is the host of the Noel Castler podcast. You can see him in Norwalk, Connecticut on November 18th, New York, New York on December 22nd. But of course, no visit with you would be complete. And just so you know, We have way backed off America, the Republicans, and Trump, and we've been saving it all for you. What the fuck is going on now?
Don't you wish it was ever different? We've been doing this for a year, thinking one of these months we're going to come on and I'm going to talk about Rush or something, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? But like every week, you know, I mean, this week, what's going on? We had a scandal last week where they had a 6-point memo that Trump had typed up about overthrowing the election. They literally put it in writing. You know, that was insane. Our press is completely tired of it. The American mainstream media didn't even barely cover that story. You know, the guy put it in writing that he was trying to overthrow the government. And people are so weary that they're like, oh, whatever. You know, this week there's a scandal that he was trying to sell the VA records of the 9 million veterans that are part of our VA administration. When he first took office, he had three dudes from Mar-a-Lago say, hey, we'll take a piece of that, you know, because medical records are worth money. So Ivanka and Jared introduced them to the guy who owns Marvel, or the Marvel guy, Marvel comic books like the Avengers and stuff. That guy tried to sell veterans data to Apple and CVS and stuff. Another huge scandal.
Now, why is that valuable?
Because the Apple wanted to monetize, because you can sell advertising. If you know people have diabetes, you can sell them specific diabetes. Patient information. And Apple wanted to have everyone's records on their iPhone. Can you imagine your medical? I can't even log into Apple TV. It takes me 3 hours to figure out. You know what I mean?
Where's the morality?
There is,
you know, they're really losing. I mean, from my perspective, what I've been reading lately, a lot of the stuff that's going on as far as going into these states and controlling who will make election decisions in 2024 and, you know, taking it out of the hands of people that might not be Trump friendly and putting it in the hands that people are Trump. Yeah, you got to give them credit working this far in advance, laying that groundwork.
But
I don't think people fully appreciate the impact that that could have. This is just like some turd country, you know, in the
banana
in third world turd. Yeah, like
in the turd republic.
Yeah,
exactly. Turdistan.
Like, it's just so sad for a country that, you know, boasts of being, you know, the greatest democracy in the history of the world. It's sad to see this happening, and it's happening, and nobody seems to be able or do anything about it.
Well, that's it. You said it. And we're not fighting this. It's like we're waiting for the house to burn to its foundation before we go in with the fire department and buckets of water. You need to be doing it now, because like you said, they're putting themselves as Secretary of States all across the country. And the next time there's an election, they're going to say, nope, our guy won. You know, Trump Jr. won or whoever.
And let me just jump back to what Fred said, though, because we sort of just touched on some Trump stuff at the beginning of the show. But Fred, what you just said, and I know what it means, that there's 18 states right now where they are taking and they're shifting from the attorney general to certify electoral college, blah, blah, blah. But think about how complex that is and how uninvolved the average Canadian and American are day to day in politics. So all of that's happening. The average person, first of all, even if they heard about it, wouldn't understand it. But the average person isn't even going to hear about it. And as you say, Noel, until the house is completely collapsed, then they're going to go, what? Well, I didn't know that was going on. So it's not going to change because most people are not paying attention.
Exactly. I'm sorry.
No, and I'm just saying, you know, one thing about the free world, the Western world, I mean, Canada, the United States, you know, great democracies, it was always a great feeling. You know, an election would happen. It was a great battle, but election's over and you hand over the reins and you move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, America's setting itself up for having arguments now and battles after every election.
Yep.
The legitimacy of the sitting government. Again, that's just like countries that we used to be glad we weren't part of or glad we didn't live in. And it's coming at us fast.
Noel, what were you going to say there?
No, Fred's exactly right. That's what's going to happen. People are going to wake up, you know, in 2022 after the congressional election or in 2024, and they're going to be like, what's going on? Because like you mentioned, there's going to be 10 states that are contesting it. You know, they made it law to do that in Texas now. And people are going to be like, wait, Oregon isn't, you know, Oregon isn't certifying the results. Marry that with this militarized fan base that he has and all these MAGA idiots. So imagine electoral chaos and then people showing up with guns outside of these, you know, voting centers and protesting. People don't, I don't think, are even cluing into what kind of chaos. And think about what that's going to do to the global, you know, think about what the global markets are going to look like the day after there's 15 bloody skirmishes over election results in the United States. You know, the whole market is going to tank.
You know, this article, Freddie, I sent you from The Washington Post. And Noel, it's just a long essay, basically, you know, sort of describing where we were and where we are now and where it's going. And one of the things I'm going to read you in a second, but one of the things they talked about is how Trump and the Trump people are already talking about the election in 22 and 24 and basically saying to their followers, if we don't win, it's rigged. And as Freddie mentioned, like it used to be, and again, in the article, Fred, they talk about there was a time when if you were Republican and then Democrat became president, what you did then is band together as a country. It was a beautiful tradition of maybe we don't agree, but we're going to work together the best we can. And even Republicans now, I think, again, as they say in this article, are surprised that what Trump didn't do is bring people to the Republican Party. He brought them to the Trump Party, and they weren't anticipating that.
Well said.
I know. It's scary. It really is.
It's terrifying. And the only solution to it, to prevent this chaos, is to do something now. You know, if there's any sort of like movement in our country on the Democratic side, it's like, hold this guy accountable. Where's Merrick Garland? Why isn't this guy indicted already? As I said at the top of the show, he had a 6-point plan. He put it in writing. Is that not enough to arrest the dude?
Well,
you know? Yeah, you'd think.
The only thing that could be done now is those key Republican players, those cowards, to just finally say enough is enough and then come out together in unity and say, you know, this guy is whacked. It's like, you know, I referenced Liz Cheney the other night on 60 Minutes. She said, you know, I don't like Biden. I don't like the policies. I think he's dangerous for the country, but it's nothing compared to Trump.
Yeah.
So we better address this thing because the Biden stuff is politics. This is our future.
Well said.
This is democracy. No, she said that. And it's so true. You know, and, you know, she's, look at the way the Republican Party has treated her when she's the only one making sense.
No, I know. Yeah,
exactly. She's Darth Vader's daughter, and she's one of the good guys.
That's what we said. Yes. You know, yeah. Remember, fucking Dick Cheney was like Vader and the Emperor all put together.
Exactly. He shot his buddy in the face. Send him a message.
He shot a guy. He shot a guy right in the fucking face.
Yeah.
Let me read you this and see what you guys think. This is from the article, and it kind of goes to what we're saying, how different the world of Trump is than regular politics. It goes on to say the most important thing Trump delivers is himself. His egomania is part of the appeal. In his professed victimization by the media and the elites, his followers see their own victimization, which I thought was very, very smart. That's why attacks on Trump only strengthen his bond with his followers. And this is one sort of sad example. One Trump supporter didn't go to the hospital after developing COVID-19 symptoms because, as he said, he didn't want to contribute to the liberal case against Trump. I'm not going to add to the numbers, he told a reporter. So we're no longer dealing with people that think Ronald Reagan is great or somebody that thinks Bill Clinton is great and on and Bush and Obama. This is something else. This is, you know, again, not to be too dramatic, but this is Hitler-like, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And
it's the cult of
It's the cult of personality. And by the way, in 1930s Germany, the people that started to support Hitler were just everyday people. And that's what the article goes on to say. These aren't radicals. These aren't the Oath Keepers. We're just talking about everyday middle-class citizens.
I know. And it's become a lifestyle brand. Trump is a lifestyle brand right now. I mean, think it came out yesterday that they had to play show tunes in the White House to calm him down when he was in a rage. Right. That was in Stephanie Winston Wolkoff's book. They would play Memories from Cats when he started freaking out and raging. And I saw that on The Apprentice 10, 15 years ago. The dude is out of his mind. But like you said, and it said in that article, he's tapped into the aggrievement of a middle class that's been self-mythologized for so long that he's the human equivalent of one of these Ford F-150 super pickup trucks. You know, no matter what the truth is about him, they're aligning themselves with him because it makes the powerless feel powerful. Yeah. And that's what Hitler tapped into. That's what got a much more educated population than the United States. Germany in the 30s, you know, was like one of the smartest populations educated in all of Europe. And they went for a madman and killed their countrymen. So what are these idiots going to do in this country?
So you're saying that Donald Trump is raging about the fact that Mike Pence won't overturn the election and somebody has to put this on? Yeah. That's true. It's so good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't so dangerous, it would be the best show on earth.
Absolutely.
You can almost understand, or, you know, you can... You know, the dunderheads buying in. But when you look at the right-wing media, especially Fox News, these guys are smarter than that. Can they not see what's coming? Is that what they want for the country? You know, and I keep hearing from, you know, mainstream Republicans or those that, you know, haven't bought in on the Trump thing. You can still be Republican. You can still be conservative and reject Trump. Like, it's okay. I mean, well, you know, that's the future of the country is without Trump. But all these enablers and these people, you know, like OAN and Newsmax, I mean, they're way out there. But Fox News, aren't these smart people that sit there and spew this stuff and just think about a year from now or 3 years from now?
No.
Man, you
can't be much of a patriot. You can't really care about your country.
You're bringing the fire today, Fred. You're bringing all these excellent points. And the real truth of it is that what I just described and these sort of like lunchbox Trump supporters in the suburbs with their pickup trucks are being manipulated by much smarter, more skeptical guys, from Rupert Murdoch to Mitch McConnell, people that know better, but that also know they're going to basically get an authoritarian oligarchical state if they continue this MAGA movement, because those guys they're manipulating are not going to look at who's really making the money and who's really ripping them off, which is the corporate interests, the Koch brothers, you know, the Federalist Society. That's why Mitch McConnell is about to tank our economy and not raise the debt ceiling in the Senate to make the Democrats suffer. He's going to put 9 million people in unemployment lines to continue this, like, you'll never get a leg up in this country, yeah, but you're not going to know who did it to you. And so, that's too complex most people.
Two quick things, though. Like, unlike what most people think of the MAGA movement, which is, as you say, a bunch of yokels, they're not. There's a whole swath of just everyday regular people. But to answer your question, and we've asked this a billion times, like, aren't there smart people that know better? Here's a great line from this article. It says, it was no surprise that elected officials feared taking on the Trump movement and that Republican job seekers either kept silent about their views or made apologies for past criticism. Here's the line I love. Ambition is a powerful antidote to moral qualms. And that's what it is at Fox, and that's what it is at, you know, the Republican Party and the McConnells and the Lindsey Grahams, that ambition is what they have, and they can sort of then, you know, sort of look the other way or hold their nose while they're supporting him.
Absolutely. That's how it works, you know?
Liz Cheney, again, to reference the 60 Minute thing, she made a great point because she was talking about Kevin McCarthy, and she didn't say, how does he sleep at night? She said, how does he look his kids in the eyes? Because it's their country.
Yeah.
It's going to be their country. So how do you, like, have a family and kids and think of the future of the country? And you are an architect leading it down this road that you know is wrong. It's almost too hard. It's almost too hard to believe. You're almost in the position where you think, oh, it can happen. It's so ridiculous. It won't happen. But
Freddie, again, Noel, I've sorted this to take your time. But what you just said is exactly what a lot of people in 19 mm-hmm. late 1930s Germany thought, well, you know, it's getting bad, but it's not going to get that bad. And that's why a lot of Jewish people stayed, because they thought, oh, well, it's not going to get so bad. And then by the time it did, here's a great line. It said, German conservatives accommodated Adolf Hitler in large part because they opposed the socialists more than they opposed the Nazis, who, after all, shared many of their basic prejudices. So there's a sort of, it's similar to the Conservative Party and the Republicans in the States. They all kind of have the same vibe, so that this sort of insurrectionist nonsense, they'll put up with it because, after all, they share some of the same prejudices. Noel Kassler, what do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, and it comes down to greed. It's almost this unbridled capitalism. It's like somebody who owns an oil company knows they're destroying the planet, but knows they're getting another big house out in the Hamptons. And you don't think about that when you're sitting with your beautiful family around your pool and your tennis court and stuff. You're not thinking about what you're doing to some wetland in Louisiana. You know, but it's still happening. And somehow we need to address that. And like you said about Hitler, you know, they sent Hitler to prison, right? In 29 and 30 and stuff. And when he got out of prison, they were going to like exile him to Bavaria and Austria. And then they said, no, let's not do that because we'll anger his base. Right. Yeah. They were already appeasing this guy. And then he went on to have 100 million people killed in World War II or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like in the whole war, global war. So they appeased a madman once and we saw how it worked out. And we're doing the same thing now. Don't underestimate Trump. I mean, the guy would murder half of this country without batting an eye. And I say that not as a joke. He is a psychopath. You know, he used to beat up young girls. He was a sexual predator. Everybody I know who knew Trump, nobody would let him alone in a room with their children, including his own kids. You don't see him with the grandkids. He's a sick man who, if he wasn't wealthy, would have been in prison 40 years ago. You know, if he was a black guy, he would have been to jail before 1980, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. A terminal illness or somebody take him out is really the only thing that's going to stop this, because all indications are, you know, he'll be back in 2024.
Yep.
And we look, you know, you look at history and all the tyrants. I mean, you mentioned Hitler. It's okay for a just and fair society to say that guy should be eliminated. You know, Trump's quickly approaching that.
Understood. And let me make one more point.
Like he should be taken out to save the country.
Look, Tucker Carlson went to Hungary and met with Orban 2 weeks ago and broadcasted from there. One of the biggest dictators in all of Europe, a complete anti-Semitic Hitler level scumbag. Tucker Carlson was broadcasting from there on Fox News. You know, there's 5-6 million people who are watching his show every night. They're selling white nationalism now. Fox News is talking about eugenics and that we're trying to get Haitians and migrants to come across the border to replace good, honest white Christians. We've seen that movie before, and it does not end well.
The replacement theory. He's all in on it. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and again, my point about it's happening now, but, you know, the three or four of us on this show today, you know, we're hyper aware. I'm not saying we're so smart, but we're very aware. It's something we are interested in, certainly the three of us. But most people aren't. And this whole thing, you know, again, not being dramatic about Nazi Germany, but we're seeing it again. The problem is most people aren't paying attention to it. That thing you said about Tucker Carlson, you know, I just couldn't figure out what was the point of that. But as you've pointed out, there's an agenda. And as we've said, doesn't he know better?
Right. And listen. Exactly. He, of course, he knows better. But it's like I said, he's going to make $100 million off of this. They know better. Most of them probably aren't even white supremacists, but they know it's a lifestyle brand that's easy to sell. And they know that the people they sell it to aren't going to go looking in their bank accounts, you know, and saying, hey, maybe this guy's scamming me. Maybe, you know, Trump is a guy from Fifth Avenue who wears a diaper. And he's got these rednecks in Texas thinking he's like the second coming of John Wayne.
Yeah.
You know, the guy gets manicures and tans himself, you know. And the French have a saying like, you better do politics before politics do you. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Yeah. But that's, you know, the gist of that is like, you better get hip to this because it's going to be too late.
And we better get hip to it in Canada because, you know, we're affected by so much. You talk about the markets. I mean, just think about Canada. If there's an election and then there's just chaos after the election, which could easily happen, you know, and the stock market tanks, I mean, that's going to have an effect on us as well. And we're going to be the neighbor of this new country that we won't even recognize. So, you know, and it's a sad thing. We're talking about this. We had our election, you know, last week or whenever it was. And how many people are ignorant, even when they cast a ballot here in Canada. You know, it's, I got to go out and vote. You don't know what the issues are. You don't know what the platforms are. You don't even know who your local MP is. But you vote. So if you're not taking any time for that, are you taking any time to see what's going on in the United States?
No, exactly.
Around Trump? When it has so much effect on us. But
Noel Kastler, follow him as I do, as every right-thinking human being will. What is your Twitter handle? Just remind me again.
It's at Kastler Noel.
Kastler Noel Comedy.
Yeah.
And, of course, I mentioned Noel's show. It's fun to go and watch him do his thing. Actually, when I first discovered you and started following you, I went back and looked at some of your stuff. It's very funny, and it's very honest and raw. Noel's tour takes him to Norwalk. Am I saying that right? Norwalk or Norwalk?
Yeah, Norwalk, Connecticut.
Connecticut. That's coming up November 18th and New York City on December 22nd. Of course, we'll have you back. I think we'll be talking to you probably before the November show for sure. But just want to say, always a pleasure catching up. Great talking politics, great talking stand-up. My favorite line today by far, a guy from Fifth Avenue wearing a diaper never ceases to fucking make me laugh. I always say this to Freddie. I'm not 100% sure he's wearing a diaper, but I always think I just pretend. I say, my mind, he is. Fuck it, he is.
Well, you want him to.
I want him to be. He is. I just love it.
I promise you. You don't have to believe me, but he is. You can look it up. You'll find pictures with the outline of the diaper. He's massively incontinent.
Well, that is the greatest thing you've... You know what? One of the greatest gifts you've given us. And of course, everyone, let's acknowledge that our friend, Noel Kastler, is today's Gig Sky guest of the day. And as we say so long, always a pleasure catching up with you, kid. Take care and stay well. All right, brother.
Bye, Fred. Bye, Howard. Bye,
Fred. Right, see you, pal.
Phil, say goodbye to Noel for crying out loud.
You know.
Okay, there you go.
See you next time.
Gig Sky's guest of the day, Noel Kastler. What can you tell me, Fred Patterson, about the wonderful world of Gig Sky?
Well, I can tell you that Gig Sky's latest service offering includes mobile data while flying. Oh, yeah, when traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. Go to gigsky.com/aeromobile to see the list of partners. Of course, whether you're pulling up directions, looking for the coolest bar while you're traveling, it doesn't matter. You know, you'll want to access data when you're traveling. All Gig Sky data plans are prepaid. No contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for, and your service is never throttled. Okay, and there's a bit of a deal here for you. HF2021 is the promo code. Go there, get $5 off your first plan. Go there? Yes, gigsky.com. That's where to go there. GigSky.com.
World's most comfortable pants, of course, Doer, D-U-E-R. And go to Doer.ca, the official title sponsor of Humble and Fred's 14th, 10th anniversary podcast on the 14th. Clothes for men, clothes for women. The world's most comfortable pants now. I think there is a free shipping in Canada for... purchases over $99. I've been wearing the, you know, I haven't worn, do you wear jeans? Do you wear jeans like a regular, like, have you been wearing jeans? I haven't worn jeans in years, like denim. You know, I have pants
all the time.
Well, now you can wear performance denim slim. And what's great about these is these jeans and these materials that Doer uses, they're classics in a new way. They've got a bit of stretch. The denim relax is what I'm wearing, and the no sweat pant slim is what the Fredman has. The entire selection is at doer.ca. And if you go there now and put in the promo code Humble and A-N-D, Humble and Fred, 15 gets you 15% off at checkout. At doer.ca, lots to browse and see, and I think you'll be very, very impressed by the type of clothing you're going to see there, okay? All right. And now, speaking of impressive, look at that man. You know, I've seen this gentleman in person with his haircut, and I gotta tell you, it's like a different guy. It's like being around a different guy. It's my partner from the old country classic. Say hi to the retirement sheriff, Tim Niblett. There you go, Phil. There you go, Timothy.
Good morning, everybody. I've survived my 290,000 fans events down in Florida, and I'm back in Canada.
Yeah, we were talking about you the other day, I think. Freddie and I were saying, like, because we had spoken to you about what it's like to go into a stadium with that many people. I was at where, and Tim's background is the golf course that Tim and I play at, and I was at a function yesterday there, Timmy. First time since before COVID, we had a charity, a tournament at the course, and it was just lovely being around people, seeing them in person. I imagine you had the same feeling, though, being around 90,000 people.
Yeah, I heard about that, of course. I was aware of the event and all, and was listening to Noel and enjoyed him as always. I'm actually out for the Jays game tomorrow, Fred, so hopefully it'll still matter. So we're looking forward to that big time, too. But yeah, it's just nice to, any time, any signpost, right? Whether it's going to restaurants, whether it's getting together with our family, any kind of signpost back to normalcy is a good feeling.
100%. Rachel and I were in Port Stanley on the weekend, and we went to this really nice restaurant. You know, and it's one of those restaurants that it was an old home converted into like different rooms. It was really neat. And it's called the Windjammer Inn, if you're ever there. And I walked in. We all had to be, you know, vetted with our vaccine receipts. And then once we sat down, though, I said to her, you know, it's kind of cool knowing that everyone in this room has done their part and we're all safe. And it was just nice being part of that community again, you know, sort of psychologically, it kind of gives you a bit of a lift.
But Tim, so down there, it was full capacity at the stadium. Is there any like chatter walking in? Is anybody mentioning COVID or is there any talk of maybe we shouldn't be full capacity? Because look up here, the Jays can only have 30. The Jays can only have, or the Leafs can only have 10. Or is it just not even a subject? It's not even a thing now. Like,
yeah, well, there's a little bit of everything. Of course, I'm sure there's right. plenty of people who chose not to even go, right? Mm-hmm. You know, with their concerns. I've got a buddy who was invited to the game tomorrow. He didn't want to go even with 15,000 people at the stadium, right? 30 now, mm-hmm. but 15 at the time. But there's, of course, your bunch of yahoos too. We're in the lineup getting into the stadium, which is way too many people, far too close together. Had my mask on, tried to keep my distance, which was impossible. And one guy's like wiping his buddy's shoulder off, saying, "Oh, you got COVID on your shoulder. Let me wipe that off for you."
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're a laugh riot there, pal. Yeah,
exactly. And I sort of had this similar experience watching the Ryder Cup on the weekend. Well, I didn't watch much of it, but I sort of caught up yesterday and the day before, just seeing some highlights. And I was like, man, there's just around the first tee there, they built that little mini stadium. It's been a couple of down days, you know, September. Well, two things. The markets are a little bit soft, but my first question about this, isn't traditionally September, October kind of like sort of not great months market wise
on average? They're not the best times. We're blessed with getting a lot of new clients in all the time right now, and you know, short term our brilliance has really got a lot to do with just what's kind of going on, right? And the last few months have been pretty well treading water for the most part. One of the hackneyed phrases is sell in May and go away, right? But there's always exceptions to those things too. The day before, the bit of a drop yesterday, which again is normal, happened for centuries. I'd gotten research from a super well-respected source that's super bullish on what's going to be happening over the next few months. So the reality is, like always, we never know for sure.
But as you say in your notes here, and it should give some comfort to listeners, is that, you know, the market's doing what they're doing is no cause for concern. It's normal. But there are opportunities in markets like this. Maybe you want to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you think of what your investment is, yes, it's a number on the piece of paper, but then within it, you've got all of your specific investments, especially if you have managed money, that being mutual funds primarily. You know, fund managers are able to capitalize on inequities that happen along the way, right? Maybe a great company has a bad quarter or a bad earnings expectation and is on sale temporarily, or days like this yesterday, a lot of the internet companies, I'm not getting the right one anyhow, got hit harder because the expectation is when tech companies, there we go, when interest rates rise, and that's harder on the tech companies. So some of the best companies in the world went on a 2-4% off sale yesterday. So actually underneath the surface, days like yesterday, I think it was last Tuesday, Monday, whatever, are great opportunities for sharp people to buy companies that they love at a better price. That's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Sure.
Tim, a lot of what you do is done on projections, and I don't know if you heard the conversation we had with Noel Kasler. When you look ahead, and, you know, I mean, there's some stark things happening in the United States, and he said, you know, maybe that ultimately could affect the markets. Like, at what point do you start looking at something like that and either preparing or whatever the word might be? Because, I mean, that's a tangible thing. I mean, it's happening before our eyes on some level, and it could have some big effect. Is that just part of what you do? Like, just measure it as it comes along?
Well, of course you try to minimize it all the time proactively, Fred. Right. Reactively doesn't work very well in anything. But, yeah, you know, that's why we have a lot of non-market investments, right? Bonds used to be a real safe haven and have had a great run as the interest rates have come down for decades, but probably going forward won't be as good. So your safety valve could become a negative. So that's why we use a lot of uncoupled things. So I've got a client appointment at 9 o'clock. He's a little more tentative of an investor. We'll probably put a higher percentage of non-market investments in there for him, so things are a little smoother along the way. But you just try to mix and match, you know, investments, managers that don't all do the same thing at the same time. Every situation has a winner, so you want to have people that are going to win in as many different situations as possible.
Yeah, I like what you said here, because you're saying China, inflation, the Delta variant, and again, building in what we were talking about, the coming, you know, Trumpocalypse. But, you know, markets, people have been investing for years and years through calamitous times in our society, and then over time it sort of averages out. And one of the last things you say here is you can't average 6-8% by having 15% gains every year. There's going to be, you know, Tim, I know you'll find this hard to believe, but not every day in the golf course is sunshine and buttercups. You know,
it's not. Oh my gosh.
Although we did, we first answer that, then we'll talk about some of the shots you hit the last time we played together.
Oh, absolutely.
Some very impressive stuff, young man.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's kind of a flippant remark and a funny one, hopefully, but I think it's a pretty deep one. You know, when we do projections for people over time, you know, we're extrapolating over decades. You don't want to say it's going to earn 10%. Inflation will be 1%. You can retire tomorrow sort of thing. So we use 3% inflation. We use 6% returns. Very doable, very realistic. You know, but yes, this last year, right? The last year and a half has been crazy good. You can't average 6-8% by being at 15 all the time. Something's got to give for a little bit sooner or later.
Well, it's always a great conversation. Tim.Niblett or RaymondJames.ca. You know, when we talk about the work that Tim does, I mentioned, you know, not only as a client, but other people I know are clients. And of course, a lot of listeners have become clients. And there's a comfort in knowing that this guy knows what he's doing. And that, you know, there's also part of what I think you do as a job is to make people feel comfortable in times of some stress and some, you know, up and down days on the market.
Right, absolutely. Thank you. And
you're welcome.
I always say my gigs help nice people out in an important area of life, right? So it gets a little addictive that way, but it's It's great. And on that note, I got a nice person that's expecting a Zoom invite from me. So
okay, we're going to let you go.
Beg my leave, and we'll talk about my mild golf prowess next time.
Yeah, Timmy brought the heat. All I'll just say is the first couple of holes were a little bit, you know, soft. and then
Tim over to you, Howard. That's were the right. First couple holes.
He was like, I think you've got this, don't you? I go, yeah, don't you worry, Timmy. I'll take care of us. All right, tim.niblett@raymondjames.ca. You take care, my friend.
Un plaisir comme toujours, Phil.
A la prochaine. There he is.
See you, Timmy.
Timmy's started to warble there a little bit. Did you guys hear that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I did.
Because sometimes I'm not sure if it's only my Zoom or your Zoom. Have you done everything you need to do? I think you need to tell us about the chamber plan, don't you?
Yes, I do. Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Small business being anything from, say, 1 to 100 employees, anything in between there. If you have a small business and have considered a benefits package for your people, hey, it's the smart thing to do. They'll love you for it. Very stable. 30,000 Canadian businesses, part of this, been around for 40 years. All these small businesses create the image of a large business, which keeps premiums down. It's all their prescriptions and dental and all sorts of therapies, depending on the level you buy into. And on that note, go to chamberplan.ca today. Go there right now, as a matter of fact. There's a badge there. It says get a free quote. And you'll get up to speed on what it takes to become part of this, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. It's the Chamber Plan, chamberplan.ca.
You know, yesterday, you and I, Humble and Fred. Oh, I see. Phil sent me a link to Facebook Memories. Phil, did you get that picture I sent of the Christmas get-together at the Pattersons?
It's on our Facebook and Twitter accounts.
Okay. Okay, so now I found... Thank you, by the way. I'm going to send you the picture of Fred and I that we had talked about in the basement, H&F smoking. Can I send you this now? Okay, I'll send you this now. Only because I think, you know, you make a good point, Freddie. If we're talking about this stuff, mm-hmm. we should... Oh, yes. Have people see it. Okay, so I'm going to send that to you now. Anyway, you and I were talking about aging yesterday and, you know, just how long we've been doing this, whatever the subject was. And I happened to turn into Stern and Robin yesterday, and they were sort of, it was interesting. I just thought it was kind of coincidence, I guess, but he was talking about getting older and, you know, how his body feels differently at whatever age he is, 65 or 6. And they were just sort of waxing nostalgic, much in the same way that you and I were. I'm not surprised because, you know, you do a show long enough with another person, you're pretty close with each other. And, you know, these are the kind of conversations that come up. But go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. No, well, you go through a lot together. And, you know, and the older you get, obviously, the more memories you have and the more things that happen, you can compare them or think back to... you know, things along the way.
Right. It's all about perspective, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And somebody put this up on social media yesterday, and I thought it was a very interesting perspective, given the fact that you and I have been talking about, you know, our age and getting older, our anniversary coming up. And then we were recently this morning talking about, you know, how we met in 1989 and how long ago that seems. But I saw this on social media. Just think about this. So it was one of those memes, and it said 1980... to 2021. 1980 to 2021 is 41 years. But 1980 to 1939 is also 41 years.
Yeah.
How fucking weird is that? So, mm-hmm. you know, I was 20 in 1980. And in 1980, I was, you know, I was born in 1960. You were born in the 50s. I was born in 1960. World War II had ended only 15 years before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
1980 to 2021 is the same amount of years as 1980 is to 1939.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. It just made me feel, I don't know if what I'm feeling. Just feeling old and I don't know.
And just, you know, we're, you know, our kids not so much, but, you know, we came from black and white TVs and, you know, having trouble listening to a radio sometimes because of the signal to two channels to where we are in this computer age. And I often thought about that about my mother when she would sit in front of her laptop on Facebook. I think, wow, look where she's come from.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when she was a kid, when she was a young adult, TV hadn't been invented yet.
Yeah.
A lot of cars still had to be cranked. There were still horses on Yonge Street.
My dad was...
And here she is in front of her laptop now.
You know, Stephen, my brother, was telling me, we're talking about my dad, Lou, and he said something about, oh, yeah, you know, Lou was born in 1922. Mm-hmm. And I thought the same thing. I know how it came up, because we were listening. I listened to this channel on Sirius that's all music from the 40s. And I said to him, one of the reasons I like this music is I think about our parents in the 1940s would have been, you know, young people. In their 20s, listening to like Glenn Miller and all this stuff. This was their Black Hole Sun, and this was their Stone Temple Pilots. So I always have that thought. The other thought I have is everyone who's on that record is dead.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny, Phil?
Yeah.
It's true.
You know, my mom told the story. They lived in the city, and they had a washroom in their house in the city, and I say that like... Hear me out.
Yeah.
They decided to move out to the country, which was Thorn Hill at the time, to a bigger home.
Wow.
But there was no washroom in the house. It was, so this would have been like 30s, early 40s.
Wow.
And can you imagine a young girl, well, anybody, but a young woman, you know, 15, 16 years old, nowadays not having access to a flush toilet and a shower and a sink and
I know,
and I say anybody, but just,
you know, I had
a young woman at the time, so you, what, you know, in the middle of the night you had pee pots, but yeah, if you had to go, you went outside, walked outside in the winter.
Yeah, think about what kind of people they were. Because if you told one of my daughters, Charlie, at 15, oh, by the way, you can just take a piss in this pot and then, you know, wake up in the morning and dump it out.
And there used to be a career called Night Soil Man.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, there used to be a career where they take and collect all the pee and the poo and everything and take it away from your house.
Oh, okay.
Night Soil Man.
Night Soil. Yeah.
Not the most popular Marvel character, but fine. my mother's father, I've told you this before. My mother, Luba, her father, so she would have been born in 25 or 26. When she was a young girl in the 30s, her dad, my grandfather, had a horse and a fucking carriage and delivered milk with a horse. Click, clickety, click, click, in the winter, in Winnipeg. It's a milkman. And he gave you your milk from a horse-drawn buggy. Anyhow. So, there you have it. That's today's show. Phil Hong. Great work, as always.
We started in 1989, and now we were back to 1889.
That's right. Maybe it's the anniversary. Maybe it's our age. Maybe it's the time of we are living in. But yeah, a lot more nostalgic these days. Thanks very much to Noel Kassler and Tim Niblett. Tomorrow we finish off a Humble and Fred week. It's going to be great. Billy Newton Davis is back to finish our conversation. And we're going to check in with our buddy Tim from Health Gauge in Florence, Italy. And, you know, and just enjoy a beautiful, sunny fall day.
Go Jays, go. You have to win tonight. Have to.
Fantastic. Excitement.
I so don't want them to lose.
You know what you should get for your basement down there? You should get one of those piss pots. Just sit down there. Doll, come change my piss pot. All right, Phil.
This episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, the Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, GoDog, and our newest sponsor, Doer, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. We stream to the planet from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfred.com.
Seven's in the mic.